Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, Cliff not with us again. But, you know, like we said last time, we're trying to get schedules to line up again. And it's, you know, it is what it is. He'll be back as soon as possible. So, but in the meantime, I am Antonio Padilla. With me, my little brother, my right-hand man. This is my task with Flag. Say what's up.
Heyo.
Hey, there he is. Yeah, and we got a show. We're going to do a show. Got a few big stories and a few just quick ones. And then we're going to talk about... I'm going to lead with this up front, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, by the way, if you don't know, you're listening to or you're watching Nerds of the Roundtable. So if you're watching us, you're watching us on YouTube. If you're listening to us, you are listening to us wherever you get your podcasts. So we thank you for your continued support. Anyways, let's get into this first one. Swag, let's do some trailers before we get into games this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do have one thing we're going to talk about in games this week.
Yeah.
And it's a funny one because it's something that Swag and I were talking about a couple weeks ago. And then, wouldn't you know it, out of the blue, some news regarding this thing came out. But... Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about some trailers, because we got some dope ones this week. This one specifically, because there was no real lead up to it. There was no like, hey, keep, you know, watch this space because tomorrow. No, they just dropped this trailer out of the blue. And look, I'm all for it. I am, of course, talking about the first trailer for the Disney Plus Star Wars series, The Book of Boba Fett. Wag, did you know that this was a thing that was happening?
I did. But the thing, like, the trailer really surprised me. You told me, like, later on in the day. And I was like, oh, this was the thing that happened, okay. But yeah, I had known that they were making it for a while.
That's good. Yeah. So, anyone who... The reason I ask is because, you know, Swag, you are not caught up with the Mandalorian. I wasn't sure if you knew this was a thing that was spinning out of the Mandalorian, and I didn't want to spoil anything for you, but yeah, you know, in season 2, Boba Fett shows up, and he's not a main character, but he's a supporting character, and this is obviously spinning out of what happened in season 2. I really like this trailer. I'm really hyped for it. I can't wait to see. I mean, just based on the footage we got, it's not at all what I was expecting, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, take more risks, Yes. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. So I'm all on board with this. I like the idea of Boba sort of taking Jabba's place as the big, like, mafia boss, you know, mafia boss on Tatooine. I really like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, no, I'm really digging this, man. What do you think of what was your reaction to the trailer?
It was totally unexpected, different than what I thought it was going to be about. But again, it is that thing where it's like, no, yeah, I like the idea, the premise and everything, so it's definitely got my attention. And it also, again, yeah, speaking of it, like, it got me thinking. I was like, I really need to catch up on The Mandalorian. I need to finish season 2 so I can go into this and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Knowing what, you know, like knowing what happens in the show. Mandalorian, yeah. And seeing what happens here in his own show.
Yeah, for sure. The one thing I will say about it, and I've kind of had these feelings ever since, because Swag, again, I know you're not caught up, but the Book of Boba Fett was actually announced at the end of The Mandalorian season 2. Like, it was an actual, like, post-credit scene, and then the title came up. So it was... That's how they announced it to the fans. So if you watched season 2, you knew this was coming, like, immediately, which was cool. But yeah, so it's the thing I was saying at the time, and I said it when I saw the trailer. Like I'm hyped, I'm interested, I'm there, you got my money. This is not me talking crap about anything or to anyone. But it just felt a little odd to me because it's like, this feels a little redundant since we already have the Mandalorian, and it's like, do we really need a Boba Fett spinoff? Again, I'll take it. I'm there. This isn't me like, oh, screw this, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I just find it a little redundant. That's all I'm saying. But yeah. Regardless, I'm there. They got me. They got my money. They got my viewership. I'm there. Day one. Swag, any other thoughts on the Book of Boba Fett?
No. Like, again, like, yeah, like, it's just interesting that, I guess, like, mainly, like, let me just get this big thought out of the way. Like, it's very interesting having it be kind of like a mob series, but in the Star Wars universe. And yeah. Also, like, starring Boba Fett. Like, again, like, it's a weird position for this character to end up in, but also, like, it's cool. And, yeah, I'm gonna definitely try have to check this out when it comes out.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong. Well, I mean, again, that is one of those things that, for me, looking at the trailer, had me, like, super excited about, because, yeah, like, the idea of it being a mobster story. Yeah. Again, like, not at all what I expected or anticipated. And this is to their credit, because, like I said, like, it feels a bit redundant. I guess in my head, I thought it was going to be, it was just going to be the Mandalorian again.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of Boba Fett traveling the galaxy, you know, visiting town, going town to town and doing all this, all his bounty hunter stuff. But the fact that they're like, nah, that's not what we're doing. That we already have that show, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, to their credit, it seems like they know what they're doing. So, like I said, I'm there, man. I'm there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I totally get it, man. Like, and again, it's that thing about, like, they're clearly taking risks.
Yeah.
IP, and I'm here for that. I'm here for it all day, every day. So.
Same.
Yeah, so there it is. The first trailer for Star Wars, The Book of Boba Fett. It will be premiering on Disney Plus. Very soon, ladies and gentlemen, December 29th. So that's not that far away, and I'm really excited about that. I know they have not finished shooting The Mandalorian Season 3, so I think this is going to take its place, like, schedule-wise, because normally The Mandalorian would be on around this time.
Yep.
And I mean, yeah. I'm all for it. That's fine. I'll take it. A new Star Wars. I'll take it. But yeah, might as well be December 29th, Disney Plus, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out The Book of Boba Fett, and I'm sure we will keep you guys up to date on the series once it drops, so watch the space if you're interested in that. All right, Swag, let's talk about the second trailer we got this week. This one, on the other hand, did get pretty big lead up to its release, so much so that, like, I knew it was coming so far in advance, and some of you might be looking at me right now with my hair, and I got this going on, like, hey, you kind of look like, yeah, I know I look like Morbius right now, okay. And that's what, it wasn't on purpose, this is just the way I happen to look right now, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, we're talking about Morbius. We got the second trailer for Morbius, and I really like this trailer. I mean, I like the first one, but I really like this trailer. I'm actually very excited for this movie. I think it looks good. I think it looks really good. Thoughts, Swag?
No, yeah, I enjoyed it. Again, it's a thing where, like, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, the first trailer got me. I was excited then. I'm excited now. Looks great. I glad we got more footage, just seeing him in action doing his thing. I also loved the joke. At the end.
Yeah. Really love that joke.
Yeah, it's like, I am Venom. I'm kidding. Dr. Morbius.
Yeah. I really love that. That was, I legit, like, chuckled out loud when you said that.
Yeah, same.
Because I was like, oh, like he's aware of Venom. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it, and again, like at the end of the whole trailer, I was like, yeah, no, I'm definitely excited for this movie. I can't wait to check it out. Can't wait to see it. And again, like Jared Leto is like doing an amazing performance throughout this entire thing. So, you know, I can't wait to see him in the full movie. And it was also, while I was watching it, I didn't put it together until just now. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep it as vague as possible. But the ending to Venom 2 explains a lot about Morbius.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually have a couple questions. Just based on this trailer alone, because, again, I'm not going to spoil the thing for Venom. Let There Be Carnage. I'm not going to spoil that at all.
Yeah.
What I am going to say is, watching this trailer, I have a lot of questions about where this movie takes place.
Yeah.
Just based on information that's here in the trailer, because clearly Morbius is aware of Venom.
Yep.
But, again, we do see him walk past that poster of Spider-Man that has murderer spray painted across it.
Yeah.
Which refers to the ending of Far From Home. But the Spider-Man that's in the image is the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But Michael Keaton's Adrian
yeah. is...
And then again, the Daily Bugle, you know, we see the newspaper, whatnot. That's the Daily Bugle from the Andrew Garfield universe. And there's a headline that refers to the Rhino, which we know the Rhino exists in Andrew Garfield's universe. And it also references Black Cat, who was set up in Amazing Spider-Man 2. And again, like, I was just looking at all this information and I'm like, where does this movie take
place?
I was really so confused. Yeah, I was just like, what is... I mean, look, I'm totally cool. I'm sure it'll be much clearer when we see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm very interested to find out where we are, what everything is in relation to everything else that we've already seen. Plus, I'm curious where it fits in the timeline, because, like you said, Morbius is aware of Venom, and they even at one point mention... somebody said, like, Tyrese's character says something to the effect of, like, this is the weirdest thing we've seen since that thing in San Francisco, which is referring to Venom as well. Yeah. But are they referring to the events of the first Venom or the second Venom? Because if I'm not mistaken, Morbius was supposed to come out before Let There Be Carnage.
Oh, yeah. But
all the delays and whatnot. So I don't... Again, I'm sure this will all make perfect sense once the movie... But just based on the trailer, it's like, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it looks great, man. I think it looks like a lot of fun. It looks like you were saying, Jared, if nothing else, man, like, he commits to a role. And it looks like he's having the time of his life.
Yeah.
I will also say, there's a lot of really cool stuff for a guy like me in this trailer alone. Being like a hardcore, like, goth vampire guy. Because there's a whole section in the trailer, and it looks like it's going to be a whole section in the movie where, you know, they say, like, we found you on this ship and all the crew is missing and blah blah blah, and you see a little bit of that, like, him stalking the ship and the crew. And I'm like, are they doing the Demeter from Dracula? Like, they're straight up doing Dracula in this movie. Me, I was like, yo, that's dope. I swear, if the name of the ship that he's on is the Demeter, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah.
but yeah, so that was cool for me. And then I think I said this to you specifically. My immediate reaction after seeing the trailer was, it made me want to go watch The Lost Boys again.
Yeah.
Which I did. I rewatched The Lost Boys. specifically because, and I know everybody out there who has heard me say that will know why. Because the song they use in the trailer, People Are Strange, I'm pretty sure the version in the trailer is the original version by The Doors. Obviously a remix, though.
Yeah.
But that song very famously was covered by Echo and the Bunnymen for The Lost Boys. And that's the song that plays over the credits of the movie, the opening credits. And it has become so synonymous with that movie and sort of vampire movies in general now. So when I heard it here in this trailer, I was like, that's a great pull. And then I was like, I got to go rewatch The Lost Boys now. But yeah, no, there was a lot in this trailer to like, specifically for me. But yeah, man, I'm really excited for this movie. Any other thoughts, Swag?
Nope. Just excited. Can't wait to see it.
All right, man. All right. I can respect it. Yeah, so Morbius is coming to us in January. It doesn't look like there's an exact date. Do you see one anywhere, Swag?
All I'm seeing is
January. Yeah. Okay. I'm even looking at it here in the trailer. It just looks like January.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember that.
All right, yeah, so January there it is. 28th. January
28th? Yeah, that's what it says here.
Okay, so there you go. There you have it. That might change, and if it does, we'll keep you guys updated, but there it is. Morbius coming at you January 28th, 2022. Can't wait to see it. I'll be there.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Swag. Yeah, those are the trailers we got for you guys today. Let's get into a little bit of gaming news. This is the story that, you'll forgive me, I almost went into it at the top. So let's give our viewers and our listeners a little bit of context here, Swag. So a couple of weeks ago, you and I were chatting, and I don't remember why I brought this up to you. No, wait, no, yes, I do. So I was talking with some people online, and we got on this topic, and then I thought, I will pose that question to Swag.
Yeah.
So you and I started talking, and I said to you, just out of curiosity, and again, because it's like, I think we reported on the trailer for it last year, the reveal trailer, and then since then, we've heard and seen nothing, and it became a talking point for people online, and someone had asked me, which I then asked you, so I will ask you again, Swag. Do you think Overwatch 2 is ever actually going to happen? Do you think that game is actually going to come out?
I don't know. Like, especially after recently. Like, I think just to kind of make a final, I mean, not like a final answer, but just like one compact answer. I think if it does, it won't be for a while.
Yeah.
That's my answer currently.
Yeah. And so for anybody out there, if you're not in the know, the reason why it's sort of become a talking point is there's been a lot of negative press and bad controversy over at Blizzard and it's Activision, right, Swag?
Yeah, because they merged. Yeah, they merged. Yeah, sure.
So Blizzard and Activision, who were the developers and publishers of Overwatch, you know, if you're not in the, like, we're not going to go into detail here, just a lot of people involved in both companies or the company, if you just want to say that.
Yeah.
Not great people. Not a great company to work for, very bad working environments, including a lot of allegations of, multiple forms of harassment. Let's just say harassment because I don't want to get too. Look, it's bad. If you didn't know people there, it's bad. So much so that we did talk about this briefly in one of our episodes a couple weeks ago, where one of the big characters, flagship characters of the franchise, recently had to have their name changed because the character was named after one of these people who at the company who turned out to not be a great person. And so that whole thing. It just became like all of that stuff piled on top of each other. And then the person who was put in charge of development on Overwatch 2 recently left the company. That was a big, oh no moment. Like, yep. That's not good at all. you know, obviously with all that stuff piling on top of each other, and obviously fans have been speculating, like, what are the odds that this game actually happens, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we got an update. Again, Mike and I were just talking about a kind of guy. Overwatch 2 has been delayed. There was a story that came out, big announcement. And when I read, I wasn't looking for news. It popped up in my Twitter feed, and I just immediately started laughing out loud. Like, not like in a mean, hurtful way, but it was legitimately like, we were just talking about this, and then the story comes out. I was just like, oh, wow. What are the odds? yeah, I'm with you, Swag. The statement you literally just made, like, if it does happen, probably not going to be for a while.
Yeah.
Like, not for a while. Considering Overwatch launched, was it 2015 or 2016?
It had to have been 2016. Yeah. Like, because now that I'm thinking, because, like, I remember playing the beta, and that was, and, like, Overwatch being, like, the previous generation of console, like, exclusive. And I think 2016 or 2015, one of the 2 years, that was when I first got my PS4.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your PS4 2015. I remember that.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so, yeah, considering the first one launched in 2016... And like we said, like we got that announcement trailer, the reveal trailer last year. Haven't heard a thing from it since, And then again, like we said, like all the sort of bad press and controversy surrounding the company doesn't do it any favors. But to get this news this week, it just seems like I doubt. Again, like it might happen. Not for a couple of years, but honestly, at this point, I doubt it's going to happen. Like, they may as well just announce, like, it's been canceled.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's... The thing that I keep thinking about is... It's also, like... It was a weird announcement. Because I remember, like, they came out with... Like, they said, like, you know, it was like, we're doing Overwatch 2, and, like, they started talking about it, I think it was at E3 that one year.
Yeah.
And to me, that was just really odd, because I always remembered thinking of, like, Blizzard specifically. Like, whenever I think of them, and I think that goes for a lot of people, you go to World of Warcraft, where they pretty much kept to the same game, they just kept adding on to it. And so that's what I thought they were going to do with Overwatch. And so when Overwatch 2 came out, that really confused me. But then also, even just recently, they've still been adding stuff to Overwatch. Like, I think they've stopped adding characters. I don't know. But I know that they've still been adding, like, new skins and new emotes and stuff with events, the seasonal events that they do every year. So yeah. I don't know if they're gonna, it wouldn't surprise me if they just scrap the whole idea and then just start implementing it into Overwatch.
Yeah, you know, you're right, man. I didn't even really think about that until you just said that. But yeah, that honestly would make a lot more sense to just have it be like you said, like a World of Warcraft type of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's you, like you said, like you just keep updating it, you just keep adding stuff, folding stuff into it.
Yeah,
it's like that just makes more sense at this point than straight up just doing a sequel or whatever. Because yeah, that's yeah, now that you said that out loud, I'm like, yeah, that kind of does go against Blizzard's like standard model, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, you know, I guess we'll all just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, see what happens. Like, that company looks like it's in a lot of trouble. So I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know if the company's going to survive. Like, if they can't get one of their flagship titles off the ground. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, it's
considering more than just the one guy has left the company.
Yeah.
At this point, so.
Yeah, like, I, and that's the thing, too, like, I keep thinking about, like, how much of a mess they're in. And like, yeah, like they need to do something. Like, and that's why I'm saying like they should just go back to Overwatch and support that more and try and get that going back up again and get more energy flowing out of that and more money and revenue.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a good move, but who knows if they'll even do it.
Yeah. You know, companies like this aren't always the smartest, so who knows? A lot of bad decisions go on. I mean, obviously, like, but yeah, no, it's such a weird, kind of funny, but also frustrating subject. So,
Yeah.
like I said, I had kind of a good laugh when the delay was announced, but like at the same time, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, and any other thoughts, Swag, before we move on?
I mean, I would like to say, like, yeah, like, all this stuff is happening and it really sucks, but at the end of the day, yeah, sure, I don't play it as much as I used to, but I still enjoy Overwatch. I still love going back to it. I still love the characters. I still enjoy the story. And I think that will continue on. I think not even just for me, but for many people, that love for that game and that world will continue on. I just hope that they will be able to keep the servers up, for a long time. It doesn't have to be forever because we know that's not going to happen, but for a while.
No, I agree. I agree with that sentiment. But yeah, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know how you feel, what you think. You think this game's ever actually going to happen? I don't know. Well, let us know. All right, that's going to do it for us for games this week. Again, nothing too, well, it's kind of a big story, but not a lot. That's what I meant. All
Yeah.
right, let's get into some entertainment news, Swag. This one, we got some big ones happening here. This one, very exciting for me. I know you're very excited about this one as well. Let's talk about it, man. Let's get into it. Let's talk some Rebel Moon. Zack Snyder's, it looks like this is his next movie because he's casting, and they've already announced the first cast member to officially join the production. Zack Snyder has cast Sophia Boutella to star in his new sci-fi film Rebel Moon, which is set up in Netflix. I love Sophia Boutella. She's phenomenal. I've been a fan of hers since Kingsman, which was the first thing I ever saw. And I believe that was her first movie as well. And she's just gone on to crush it in everything since then. So yeah, and so the fact that she's throwing her hat in with Zach over at Netflix is very exciting. And obviously this is a movie I'm looking forward to. I know you're looking forward to. I know a lot of people online are. But what do you think about this, man? How does this casting make you feel?
Oh yeah. I remember when you sent me the news and you told me about it, and there was a moment there where I was like, just it, in my head, I was just going back through all of her work that I've seen her in, like whether that be Star Trek or any of the other stuff. It's like I enjoyed her in those movies. Like her, she's amazing. Her performances were great. And I always just enjoyed her characters. So to hear her being, brought onto this project, into this film, got me really excited because I think like her acting ability, but and Zach's directing and writing will, that's gonna be amazing to see, especially in a movie like this. Like, this is going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with everything you said. Let's talk let's give a little context behind this project for anyone who doesn't know, because I this is one of those things where I'm very like I always like to tell people, like, because you know, you can vouch for me on this. For those of you who don't know, this movie was originally supposed to be a Star Wars movie over at Lucasfilm. And I heard about it back in, I think it was late 2019, was it not, Swag?
Yeah.
It was before Zack Snyder's Justice League was officially announced. So it was like right at the tail end of 2019, maybe early 2020. A piece of information had been given to me by some people. I'm not gonna name names, but
yeah.
Because at that time there was this big like industry insiders were being real vague about it, and everybody was saying like, "Oh, Lucasfilm, Disney has a new director lined up to do a new Star Wars movie, and it's a big deal. It's a big name. Like people are gonna lose their minds when they announce it." And they hadn't announced anything, and everybody was like, "Well, what's going on? Why aren't they announcing it?" And it was because of all the like the shift and stuff. Like, is the Justice League thing going to happen or not? They're still ironing out details, and you know, Zach obviously didn't want to move on something before blah blah blah. So they were waiting to see how everything panned out. Unfortunately, whatever happened between then and now, like it caused Lucasfilm to part ways with Zach and his vision for a Star Wars movie, which is what this is. But I remember at the time, because you know, all they were saying was, "Oh, they've got a director, and it's gonna blow up the internet when they announce it." And someone said to me, like, "Hey, man, you'll be interested to know this. It's Zack Snyder." What? It's like, yeah, it's Zack Snyder. He's doing a Star Wars movie. It's gonna be Seven Samurai, but in the Star Wars. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was like, "That's awesome." And you'll remember, I told you like almost immediately after this information was given to me.
Yeah.
And you and I were both really excited because it's like, that makes so much sense, man. Like, just the idea of like doing Seven Samurai in the Star Wars universe, like that makes so much sense. Especially yeah. Considering George Lucas literally like, I'm not talking trash. George Lucas openly admits that he stole a lot of Akira Kurosawa for Star Wars. So the idea of doing a Kurosawa movie in the Star Wars universe, like that just makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yeah.
But again, unfortunately, there were decisions made and reasoning behind those decisions that led to Lucasfilm being like, "We're not going to move forward with this." And Zach, obviously, you know, he's found a new home at Netflix, and Netflix was like, "Hey, if you rewrite your script and make it so that it's not a Star Wars movie, you know, so that we don't get sued or whatever, put the money for it, and you can shoot it, and we'll put it out," and that's what they're doing. So that's what they're doing. This movie, Rebel Moon, was supposed to be Zack Snyder's Star Wars movie. Now, again, it won't be an official Star Wars movie, but you'll be able to, I guarantee you, once you watch the movie, you'll be able to look at it and be like, "Oh yeah, I see how this was supposed to fit in."
Yeah.
Even the description for the movie, the plot, it's like, yeah, this clearly was supposed to be a Star Wars movie. I've got it right here in this article. It says, the film is set in a peaceful colony on the edge of the galaxy that finds itself threatened by the armies of the tyrannical Regent Belisarius. They dispatch a young woman with a mysterious past to seek out warriors from neighboring planets to help them take a stand against the tyrant. Which, again, like, yeah, that's clearly the Empire or the First Order or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah, that this makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, no, I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. So, sign me up. I'll be there day one. And again, it's Netflix, so, like, you won't even have to go to a movie theater. So, although... Yeah. Considering they gave Army of the Dead a limited theatrical release, I'm sure they will probably do the same here as well, because they definitely want to hang on to Zach. That seems to be the thing.
Yeah. And why wouldn't they? I mean...
Obviously, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
The fact that they're putting up the money for him to make this movie says a lot about their faith in him and their eagerness to keep him aboard. So... Yeah, man, I'm super excited. This is going to be great. I can't wait to see who else joins the cast. I know, and maybe this is breaking news, but I'm just going to put this out there. I know Zach is trying to get Billy Crudup to join the cast. Like, there's negotiations going on right now. Again, it's all going to come down to scheduling, whether or not he can do it or not. I know he wants to. He loves working with Zach. That's very obvious. So hopefully that'll happen as well. Who he'll be playing, what he'll be doing. Don't know. Don't care. Just make it happen.
Yep.
But yeah, any other thoughts on this movie, Swag? Any just any reactions or whatever?
Man, again, the plot just, it sounds really interesting, really good. And again, it's just that thing where, over these past few years, it's hard not to trust Zach at this point. Like, we know he's going to make a really epic film and we're going to enjoy it. So I just can't wait to get more casting, and I can't wait to get a trailer, and I just can't wait to watch the movie. And also just to laugh at Disney and tell them how big of a mistake that they made not letting him make that Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Because that's what I said that to you, right? Like, after the story broke that he was doing it over at Netflix. And I was like, man, imagine being, realizing that they just let this movie slip, you know?
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if after it comes out, and I guarantee you, people are loving it or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if they immediately, hey, man, you wanna maybe try something else over here? Like, let's talk. Let's see what's going on. But yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yep.
But yeah, so that the Rebel Moon happening over at Netflix. Sophia Boutella, Zack Snyder, I'm there. But yeah, again, we don't have a lot. Again, we don't even know who she's playing.
Yeah.
What she's playing. She might be a villain. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but we will definitely keep you guys up to date on the, we will, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our final news story before we get into TV time. Oh, also, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I did see Army of Thieves on Netflix. I started watching it last week before we recorded last week's episode, but stuff came up and I couldn't finish it before we recorded, which is why I didn't review it on last week's episode. Quick review here, because I don't want to take up too much time. It was really great. It was really fun. It was funny. getting some more backstory into Dieter and learning certain things about him. Spoiler alert, Dieter's not even his real name. but you do, there is an explanation and an origin for why he takes the name Ludwig Dieter, which is actually very... kind of a compelling thing that I wasn't expecting. You know, because normally when you watch prequels to something, it's like, oh, how'd whoever get this? And it's like, oh, this happened. It's like, oh, that's disappointing. The actual thing between why he changes his name is actually really like I said, really compelling. And I was like, oh, that's wow. Okay. But yeah, no, there was a lot of stuff that I did not expect to happen in that movie. And it's very, I will say that because Army of Thieves was not directed by Zack Snyder. He produced it, obviously. It was directed by Matthias, I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not even going to try it. The same actor who plays Dieter. So he directed it and he starred in it. And like good job, man. Like, that is not easy to do. So, and the fact that he pulled it off, and he gave it his own flair, his own style. It doesn't look like a Zack Snyder movie, although he does pay homage to Zack in a lot of ways, which is nice. It was really cool. It has its own snappy energy. It kind of reminded me, his directing style kind of reminded me of Edgar Wright in the best way possible. Like, not that he was doing a pastiche or that he was clearly imitating Edgar Wright, but there are moments where it's like, this is very Edgar Wright-esque in its energy and its, you know, it's pacing. So if any of that sounds good to you, check it out. It's definitely worth the watch. Definitely. And honestly, the way it ends, the way it leads, it genuinely leads right into Army of the Dead. and it made me want to immediately rewatch Army of the Dead. I didn't, but I wanted to, and I probably will. but no, yeah, well done, man. Well done. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. So if you haven't seen it and you're thinking about checking it out, definitely check it out. It's pretty good. All right, so there it is. My little mini review of Army of Thieves on Netflix. All right, let's get into our final news story. This is one that this story actually broke Swag right after we recorded last week's episode. And I was so mad because I was like, oh, I would have loved to have reported on this like immediately, but we had to wait. But hey, right here, and no better time because there's a little bit of an update, actually two updates regarding this story. But it is the news that actress Jenna Dewan is joining Superman and Lois season 2, and she will be reprising the role of Lucy Lane, which she originally played in season 1 of Supergirl. And that's very exciting. That's very exciting. I was hoping she would show up at some point, specifically Jenna Dewan, although again, like I said, if they have to recast, I'm fine with that too, because again, just like with Sam Lane, you can always explain it away that it was crisis, you know? But the fact that they got Jenna to come back is very exciting and very welcomed because she was great on Supergirl. And this just ties it more to what came before in a way that I feel like a lot of people misunderstand and misjustify, you know? But this is great. This is great. This is I'm so happy and excited for this. For many reasons. I can't wait to see the dynamic between her and Lois, because in Supergirl we kind of got the idea that their relationship is not the best. So I'm interested to see, and again, like, that might change. This might be a crisis thing. Like, it might be the same actress, but she might be a completely different person than what we've seen before. So again, I'm just super excited to see what they're going to do with the character, what she's going to bring to the table this time around, and her. Obviously, she would be the aunt to John and Jordan, so that's going to be fun to see. And yeah, I'm. This has me excited for multiple reasons. I'm going to throw this over to you, Swag, because I don't think you watched much of season 1 of Supergirl.
I did not.
Yeah, and so I know you are probably not familiar with her performance as the character, but regardless, considering you watched all of season 1 of Supergirl.
Yeah.
And I know you're a fan of that show. How do you feel about this, man? Knowing that, you know, it's a character she already played, but she's coming back and joining the cast of Superman. How do you feel, man?
It's exciting because, again, like, it's that thing where, like, thinking about it, it wouldn't surprise me if they're going to do, like, a whole lot of more, like, family themes and, like, stories in this with her. And, you know, that's going to be fun. Like, it could be interesting, could be fun, it could get emotional, who knows. But, again, it's that thing where it's, like, I think that's why I loved season 1 so much. And so, you know, kind of hearing about this and thinking about the possibilities gets me really excited. As for, you know, the actor returning, again, like, yeah, I don't think I'm very familiar with how she played the character in season 1. But yeah. Either way, it's good. It's a great thing that she's coming back and reprising the role. And like, yeah, they can easily explain it as just a crisis change, but you know, it is great to get the original actor back to play the same character. So I'm just excited. It's great casting, great news, and I just can't wait to see this next season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. It's great. Again, like, that's the news. That is the story. Again, not a lot of details. Just that she's back. She's going to be joining season 2. However, we got, it's kind of a good thing that we didn't get to report this news in last week's episode, because just today, literally today, Swag, she's on set. She's on set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
She posted on Instagram a photo of her and Elizabeth Tulloch, who plays Lois Lane on the show. Yeah, a photo of the two of them on set filming, presumably. And yeah, like they look great together. Like that's I find those two as sisters. That's great.
Nice.
So yeah, a little bit of an update. Like yeah, she's definitely on set already. They're shooting, and that's very exciting. The other update is that we have a premiere date for season 2. Oh, Superman and Lois season 2 will premiere on January 11th. That's not that long to wait. A little over 2 months away. So I'm very excited, man. I can't wait to see what season 2 is gonna bring us, what they're gonna offer, because it's like season 1 is probably my favorite new show of 2021. Like I had so much fun, yeah. so much great moments on that show. It was fantastic. So yeah, I can't wait for season 2. What do you think, man, about the premiere date?
That's great. And like, yeah, like, you know, like I enjoyed the show, like I said, like it was just great. And even like going back and looking at like the ratings that we gave it, like it should be no surprise that I'm excited. And again, like, I'm just glad that we have a premiere date. So I'm going to be marking the calendar, counting the days. Can't wait to get more, especially after the way that the last episode ended. It's going to be great.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I can't wait to see how that all turns out.
Yeah.
But yes, there, again, this news was announced today, the premiere date for season 2. So again, a couple of updates in regards to Superman and Lois. And there we go. So yeah, that's good. That's the news for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, not a big news week, but we're going to make the most out of what we got. So let's talk some TV time swag. This week we got the Stargirl season 2 finale. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to clarify. Yeah, I know there was a Doom Patrol episode this week. I haven't had the chance to watch it. I was hoping to before we recorded, and I just have been so busy the last 2 days that I didn't get a chance to get it in before we recorded this week's episode. So I apologize, but I'm going to get caught up as soon as possible. I want to give a quick little review for the first four episodes of Young Justice this season, Young Justice Phantoms, because they did something that surprised me and a lot of the fans. And I told Swag, and Swag, I know you haven't watched the show since season 2.
Yeah. Which kind of, thinking about it, like, and after hearing you talk to me about it, like, this current season and then the previous season, like, I'm really bummed out that I haven't really been sticking with it.
Yeah, it's a good show, man. But spoiler alert for anybody if you don't want to be spoiled about what has happened, like if you're not caught up. They killed Connor. And I was so shocked when it happened. But at the like, as shocked and heartbroken as I was, not surprising considering they killed Wally in the season 2 finale. So it's like, that's on brand for this show. But still, like, heartbreaking because, again, if you haven't kept up with, I told all this to Swag, like, season 3, Outsiders ended with Connor proposing to McGann, so they were going to get married, and then, like, the first 3 episodes of this season, well, the first 4 episodes, involved them sort of planning the wedding, so, like, it was going to happen, they were going to get married, and then this horrible thing happens, and he dies. And it, again, it's like, I should have known, like, me being a writer, it's like, if your characters are this happy and things seem to be going this well for them, like, you're going to have to destroy their lives. So I should have seen it coming, but I didn't, I guess, because I thought, there's no way they're going to kill Superboy. There's no way. No way. And then they did. Yeah, it was shocking, man. It was shocking and heartbreaking. And I know, because I was checking Twitter to see what everybody else's reactions to it were, and everybody else was just as shocked and heartbroken as I was. Yeah. But the other thing was, I was talking to Swag about it, because in the prior episode to it, they set up Jonathan Kent, John, like, they establish that Clark and Lois have a son, John. They have their son. And they already established that he's developing his powers and whatnot. So I was like, wait, did they kill Connor to John? Because that's a weird move. Yeah. And I even said, Doug, it's like, if you're going to introduce John, like, you don't have to kill Connor. You could have Connor be John's mentor. Like, that. You don't need to get rid of one to make room for the other. Again, yeah. I don't know if that's why they did it. I don't know. And there's always the chance Connor's not actually dead. I just want to put that out there. But as it looks right now, it looks like he's dead, man. Like they even had McGann try to reach out to him psychically, and this was the moment that broke all of us. She was scared and frightened and sad because she couldn't feel his mind touch. Mm-hmm. And that's when we were all like, oh no. Because she was looking right at him. She was looking at his body. And she couldn't connect to him, implying that he was dead. He was dead. And that was the thing that broke all of us. But, oh, man. Yeah, no, I've got... Again, man, this show, one of the best, if not the best, animated superhero shows of all time, man. So, as heartbreaking as it was, man, like, the fact that they managed to shake the fan base like that after this many years... pretty good. Yeah. So yeah, that's where we are. I'm still really loving the show. I can't wait to see where the rest of the season goes. So but yeah. All right. Swag, let's get into it. Let's talk Stargirl. We got the Stargirl season 2 finale. Rah. There was so much that happened in this episode. I don't know where to begin. Let's just talk about, like, dude. This episode just picks up and runs, man. Like, they get into it so quick in this episode. Like, so fast. Like, I didn't even realize how much had happened before the first commercial break until the commercial break happened. And I was like, wait, what? This is the first commercial break? Like, yeah. There was so much happening in this episode. And I think I said a lot of this to you. But watching the season, the entire season leading up to this, I was noticing that they were making story decisions that would save the budget, like the idea to sideline Stripe as early as they did, like the decision to condense the team a little bit as early as they did, to not do a lot of big fights and action scenes and whatnot. We did see Grundy pretty often. Well, not pretty often, but we saw him more than I was expecting to see him early as well. And by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this, the CGI on Grundy this season, far superior to the CGI in season 1. And like season 1 had really great special effects and CGI and whatnot, but Grundy was the one thing in season 1 where it was like,
yeah.
That doesn't look great. But they greatly improved the CGI for season 2, which I appreciated. But yeah, like, there was clearly a lot of, like, we're going to save as much money as we can. And I knew it was going to be for the finale. And I was right. Because they threw everything at us in the finale. Like,
yeah.
If you were starting to get maybe bored or frustrated at the lack of action or spectacle this season, this finale more than made up for it. Like, I was still greatly invested in the story, the characters, everything that was happening on screen, even without all the big action set pieces like we got in season 1, to the point where, like I said previously, like, I think Stargirl was the most consistent show this season. And again, like, I was just so invested and captivated by everything that happened. I didn't care that we weren't getting a lot of action. But man, this finale was insane and incredible. But how do you feel about the finale, man? What were some standout moments? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I think it's hard to kind of pinpoint what, like, the best part was. Because I think, like, yeah, like, I do definitely appreciate them just throwing us right into it. And it's a thing where like the episode just felt like it was all action, like legit. And it's a thing where like I'm glad that they did it, and it made sense too, because it's like the last episode prior to this one was building up to the final fight. And so to have the final episode, like a majority of the final episode, be the final fight was really good. A really good idea, really good move. And I enjoyed it all the way through, just seeing everybody. And like that's like yeah, I think that's probably the best part. Like seeing everybody come together in this fight was definitely the best part. Because we got to see everybody, shine in this. We got to see everybody get their hit in and do something that, furthered their, their progress to victory in the fight. So yeah, like I enjoyed like the final battle all the way through, but I also enjoyed like them wrapping up all the stories, like everything with like specifically like I think like Sylvester, because like we knew, we knew he was gonna be that, like he was coming, he was looking for them, and it was that thing where like I knew he was probably gonna show up here, but I didn't expect him to show up in the middle of the fight.
No, me neither. Me neither.
But and again, that was epic. That was crazy. That was really good. Like just him showing up and then giving Courtney the pep talk and like telling her like you can do this and then win the battle. Like that was great.
I agree, man. Like that was probably of all the jaw-dropping moments in this finale, for me that was definitely probably the biggest
Yeah.
one. Saying a lot, because like I said, this episode had a lot of those moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you're right, man. Like we saw that Sylvester. Well, we saw at the end of season one that number one he was alive. Number two, he was looking for Pat, and then we see him again here at the start of season two, and then we didn't see him in the present day. We saw him a lot in flashbacks, but we didn't see him in the present. So I was like, are they gonna come back to that or what? So yeah,
Yeah.
I was like you, man. I kind of figured we'd see him again, but I didn't think it would be when or where we did, which was
Yeah.
let's talk about like yeah, man, let's talk about like characters, man, because it felt like everybody,
Everybody.
just everyone who was still available
Yeah.
came around, like Courtney, Yolanda, Rick, Beth, Cindy, of all people,
Yeah.
Ox, all three of them,
Yeah.
Sylvester, Mike, Jakeem finally got in on the action, which was great. Who else?
Any.
Jenny got to do some dope stuff. Like Grundy, like I'm gonna
Yep.
say Grundy because. Because that was a dope moment too. Because
Yeah.
I remember when Rick took off without the hourglass, and we were all like, "Oh man, like this is not gonna you're gonna get yourself killed."
Yeah.
But like immediately as soon as he showed up in the fight,
Yeah.
even before Eclipso said anything, I was like, "Oh right, he probably brought Grundy with him," and exactly what happened. And I was like, "Dude, that was awesome."
Yeah. I was for a minute there hoping that Grundy was gonna have a Hulk Loki moment.
Yeah.
Kinda
I mean, he kind of did. He smashed
did, yeah.
Clifton quite a bit, but yeah,
Yeah.
no. Yeah. That man, that was such a great moment. And then I know you and I had a similar reaction when it looked like Grundy was it looked like Eclipso killed Grundy, where we were like, "Oh no," but then it was like, "Oh, he'll be fine."
Yeah, he'll be
Like
fine.
I remember that, like, "Oh, Grundy, he'll be fine. Like this is nothing. He's just gonna sleep for a while. He'll be okay."
Yeah.
But then, like, how great was it that they did confirm that before the
Yeah.
episode? Where it's like he's just gotta rest properly and he'll be
Yeah.
fine. Like, because you never know with adaptations, Like you never know if they're just
Yeah.
gonna, "Oh, he's dead." So yeah, we know he comes back in the comic books, but like we're just not gonna do that. But it was nice to get that confirmation. Also, yeah, man, I love seeing the Crocs back.
Yeah.
You know, with Crusher or, oh God, what is her name? I can never remember Tigress's real name.
Yeah.
But also Artemis coming back. And yeah. And the setup for season 3, which is amazing. And again, like, for context and to clarify for anybody out there who doesn't know, so Neil Hopkins, who plays Sportsmaster, and Joy Osmansky, who plays Tigress, have joined the cast as series regulars for season 3, which means, obviously, if you saw the episode, you know where that's going to go. But also, Joel McHale has been up to series regular for season 3 as well, so he's definitely going to be sticking that. I feel like that was the thing we all kind of talked about after the finale wrapped up, was like, the season 3 cast is going to be huge.
Yeah.
The fact that so many characters came back at the finale, yeah, and so many were sticking around, including the Shade. Like, yeah, even he was like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stick around. It's like, yeah, oh, right? Like, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, but that, yeah, was, I think I enjoyed that one. It's like, yeah, like, yeah, like, to kind of have him stick around after all that he went through, like, I can't wait to see more of him. And just, you know, see how he helps the team, because, I mean, clearly that's his plan. I mean, he kind of implies it. Yeah. So, yeah, like, it's, you know, it's going to be great just to see more of him and, you know, him working with the team. Because I think, like, he really hardly did get to work with the team during the season.
Yeah, he was mostly dying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm excited to see what that dynamic is going to be like. I'm very excited. Because, again, like, one of my favorite things about season 1, and we did get to see some of it here in season 2, but I always loved that dynamic between Pat and Crusher.
Yeah.
And the fact that I think, like, the showrunners knew that fans really liked it, which is why they were like, hey, man, we'll make you regulars for season 3. We'll do a whole season. So, and especially they're going to be neighbors. Like, that's going to be so weird. But so much fun. Going to be so much fun. But yeah, man, I can't wait for all of that. Not to take anything away from the Shade, like, that's clearly going to be a lot of fun, because it looks more or less like he, just based on that final scene with him, it looks like maybe he'll take to Rick a little bit, because it did feel like I don't know, like, maybe, because obviously Rick doesn't have his uncle anymore, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, his uncle is alive, but I don't think he's going to be like, yeah, just come back home or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like Rick's going to need someone else to be sort of a father figure. And not that Pat can't be that, but I mean, if you're going to keep the Shade around, like, why not, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that seems like an interesting direction to go. But, yeah, man, geez. And Cindy joining the JSA?
Yeah.
Or at least asking to, like, that's interesting. Again, there's so much to unpack in this episode, man. Like what else happened, man? Like, we're skipping over
like the final scene, like, before the episode ended.
Yeah. Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
The teaser, the sting.
Yeah.
Cuz again, like, I told you, man, like, when I was watching the finale, because I pay attention to the credits, you know? So, like, I read people's names. Like, that's why I knew, like Neil Hopkins and Joy Osmansky. Like, I was expecting to see the Crocs because I saw both of their names in the opening credits. But there was another name in the opening credits that I saw, and then I kind of forgot. But in the opening credits, you see the name Keith David.
Yep.
And I was like... Because part of me was like, is that a different Keith David? Or
Is there some other Keith David I'm not aware of?
I had not heard anything about him being cast in the show or what. So I was like, oh, if it is the Keith David that I'm thinking of. Like, who's he playing? And, yeah. You know, again, like I saw it in the credits and I was thinking about it, but then because the episode, like, so much was happening and I was just so invested and I got lost in it, I kind of forgot that I saw his name. But then you hear his voice, yeah. And I was like, oh.
And that's the great thing for me, too, because it's like, I didn't even notice his name. So, like, just to hear his voice come out of, like, the corner of the screen was just amazing. So, and, yeah.
Like, but also seeing the character that he's playing.
Yeah.
Was like, I got chills down my spine. I got pumped. It was,
yeah,
it was insane because, like, that's clearly set up for season 3.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're gonna have Keith David, like, there's no way you cast him for just the one scene at the end of season 2.
Yeah,
you're gonna keep that dude around for sure. So
I also I appreciate them for, like, giving him the villain role this time around.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you ever really hardly get to see him be bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, like, you know, like, maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
A few times, three, yeah, but when you think about his most iconic roles.
Yeah.
It's mostly as, like, good guys or, you know, heroes or allies or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to get him to, like, let loose is the bad guy again. Like, that's gonna be great. And it's like we've seen him do it before. So, like, I have no doubt in my mind he's gonna crush it. But like I said, like, we hardly ever get to see him do it. I don't even remember the last time we did get to see him play the bad guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember. I think what are some villainous roles that he's played? Again, it's because the majority of his roles that I think of are, again, like, I go to, like, They Live, or John Carpenter's The Thing, or even more recently, like, obviously on Rick and Morty, where he's the president, who's kind of a bad guy, but not really. mostly he just doesn't like Rick. And then, like, it's just, there's so many characters that I remember. Obviously, he's the voice of Spawn.
And that's exactly the thing that, like, I was thinking about.
Yeah, that character kind of bumps up against the line of, like, being a bad guy, but
yeah,
it's really brutal. For me, it's just.
Wait a minute. I'm looking here and I just see this. Keith David was in Adventure Time?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. In a few episodes, man.
Wow. it says, like, he was doing it. No. I don't even know when. It's just the show runtime. But now I'm curious. I gotta go watch the entire show again, try and listen for the vice president's voice.
Yeah. No, he does a lot of voiceover work, man. Like, oh, and again, like, I think I told you, like, I found him on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, ladies and gentlemen, we love Keith David.
Yeah. Like, Keith David was the Flame King.
That's right. Oh, my God. I was trying to remember who he played. I know I heard his voice on that show.
Yeah. But, yeah. I remember that when that episode, when Ben goes to see meet him after, like, hanging out with Flame Princess.
Yeah.
Like, your dad is Keith David.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so man, Keith David playing Mr. Bones, aka Director Bones, who I just had to look this up because, like I said, when I saw him, I thought he was the Atomic Skull, which would have been cool. But this is apparently a character I'm not familiar with. Mm. So that's who he's playing. Either way, cool. I'm into it, Dave. I'm here for it. So, man, look, like we said, there's so much to unpack and talk about in the Stargirl season finale, but like we don't have enough time to get. But needless to say, we loved the fight. The fight scene with Eclipso was amazing. Like I said, it took up a good, what, 3/4 of the episode.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. It was amazing. Everything looked good. Everybody got their moment to shine. It was amazing. It was fantastic. Yeah, this was a 10 out of 10 for me, man. If I'm being honest, this was like a 15 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure.
Yeah, this episode was awesome. What a way to end the season. An already fantastic season. But yeah. What a way to go out, man. What a way to go out. Like, fantastic. Can't wait for season 3.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Swag?
I mean, not really. I mean, like, I guess, like, just real quick, like, I guess I would like to give just props and shout-outs to everybody, like, the entire cast. Like, you guys did incredible this season. Like, it was, and again, like, even season 1, like, we've said it, like, you guys killed it. But, like, again, like, just, you brought it back this season, and it was good. Really good.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, you good call, man. The cast, phenomenal. Loved it. The one thing I will say, I really hope we get to see in season 3. I hope the new kids get some actual superhero suits.
Yeah.
It was a little weird, Jenny running around in like a shirt and jeans.
And that was the thing that I was really hoping for. I was like, where's her green kid? Come on. Give her her Green Lantern suit at the end here at the fight, please.
Put her in a suit. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, for crying out loud, Artemis got a suit. Like, what?
Yeah, she did.
But, like, you know, that's the one thing I was like, I would like to see Jenny get a suit. I would like to see Jakeem and or Mike get something. Again, just not them just running around in everyday clothes.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing I'm saying is, like, give the new kids a suit. Like, come on. But yeah, no, it was a great season, great finale. I loved it. Yeah. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you were watching Stargirl, if you've seen the finale, let us know what you thought of it. What were some of your favorite moments? What are you looking forward to in season 3? So,
yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for us this week, ladies and gentlemen. That's the news. We brought it to you. Swag, let everybody know where they can find you online.
Yeah, you guys can come over to youtube.com, Mr. Swagtastic. Man, I'm working on some projects, trying to get some stuff out. More Far Cry, definitely more Far Cry. There was some other stuff I was working on. I don't quite recall what it was, but, you know, again, if nothing's happening, just go check out the playlists. There's plenty of stuff there to check out. Yeah, come hang out. It's a good time.
There it is. You heard him, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Swagtastic on YouTube. And, of course, Swag will go ahead and throw up Cliff's link tree so that you guys can go find him, go show him all the love and support. You know, hopefully he'll be back on the show soon. And, all right, and I am, of course, Antonio Padilla. You can find me on all social media at Tron Pilgrim or at Tron Pilgrim 87. You'll know which one is me. If you're watching us, you're watching us on YouTube, and if at any point you enjoyed the video, please consider giving us a like rating. It costs you nothing. Helps us out a lot. And please consider subscribing to this channel. Hit that bell notification so you'll get notified every time a video goes up. Leave a comment down below. Keep it civilized. That's all we ask. And if you know anybody who you think would enjoy this content, our content, feel free to share with your friends, family. If you think they would enjoy it. And yeah, that's the YouTube. If you're listening to us, on anchor.fm/nerds or on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere podcasts are available. Don't forget to like Nerds of the Roundtable on Facebook, facebook.com/realnerdsoftheroundtable. You can follow us on Twitter @realnerds_. That's going to do it for us, ladies and gentlemen. That's the episode. We'll see you next time. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. Swag, you know what to do.
Kick it.